Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shalom, family. Shalom. We are close to the Shabbat door. Open it up. Once again, we look outside. Yeah, we got probably about a half hour or more for the Shabbat door to be opening up. Let me know if I'm sounding clear, family. Let me know if I'm sounding clear, if I'm coming through all right. I'm your brother, Ariel. Back again with another segment with Hebrew culture by the way of Kol Elohim here in Baltimore, Maryland, coming out of the Assembly of Beth Yahweh, spiritual leadership of Yaka'el, Rabbi Yaka'el, Ben Yahushua. Just want to take and thank my brother Shabba Al once again for stepping in the gap for me last week, Pura, Aki, and into the family. Got a chance to catch up on the lessons. Got a chance to sit down yesterday and hear all three of the lessons. Didn't get the fourth lesson because that's not tape, but I did get a chance to sit down and listen to my brothers three times. And if we notice, the oath spoke three times this weekend. Every day this past weekend, last weekend, that is, he had a lesson. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And that don't happen often. That don't happen often. So when things like that, we know that there's no coincidence. There's none. So when things like that do happen, what we as believers have to ask, but what are you showing us? What are you telling us? What do I get out of the oath speaking three times this weekend? What are you showing me? And you mingled in Ahava, love, the love of Yah. And one thing that he showed me after I meditated on it, after I thought about that, because I understand that that's not a coincidence, and Abba, you is the grand architect. You sets up everything. Remember the oath that you love, or the oath that loved you. And I'm like, what oath, Abba? Take it all the way back. Take it all the way back when he asked Israel, standing at the foot of the mountain, I will be your mighty one, and you will do what I ask you to do. We will be his people, and he will be our mighty one. That's the oath that we took. We took that oath, our ancestors did, and once we took this way, we also took on that oath. We took that oath. So, yes, we will. We will be your people. We do want you as our mighty one. So that oath, three times this weekend, last weekend, mingled with love. Remember the love, remember the oath that loved you. And that's Abba Yah letting us know that he loved us. He made an oath to us as well as we made one to him. We made a covenant with him. Remember that. Remember that. That's what I was getting out of it, because when I asked him, Abba, what we pulled the line out of that? You know, and that's what he was showing me. He took me back to the oath, to the covenant. No coincidence with Abba Yah. None. Now, before I get to talking, let me open up with a prayer, you know. Got to open up with the open prayer, and we'll get into today's lesson. Hallelujah! 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 Thank you once again for giving us, for bringing us to the Shabbat door. Thank you for once again giving us life, bringing us, and watching over us, Father, those who are alien in any type of way, Father, mentally, physically, emotionally, Father, yeah. Touch them, heal them, Father. Continue to bring them out of whatever they are in, Father. Continue to heal, Father. Continue to allow us to share this worldly system. Continue to allow us to share this mindset that we have, these ailments that we go through, and anything that hinder us from walking in your Torah and keeping the testimony of your son, Yahushua, Father. Shed anything that keep us from him, Father. So we want to be like your son, Father. We want to be able to walk in this world free of anything else, free of any burdens that connects us, that holds us to the world in the sense of separating us from you, Father. Because we know this world, we are in the world. You even said it in your word, Father. Be in the world, but not of the world, Father. We ask and pray that whatever holds us to this world system, that you separate that, Father, that you continue to allow. allow us to grow and shed and become more like your Son, Father. Father, I ask and pray for all the Marais, Father, that you continue to hedge them up, Father, continue to keep them close to your bosom, Father. When, in any way you have to, Father, keep to your bosom, Father. Because I know the adversary is coming after them, heaven, and not just them, Father. All of Israel, Father. We are the one thing. We are the fly in the ointment, as they say, Father. We are the ones that can tear down his kingdom, Father. So I know he's coming after each and every one of us, Father. Father, God, ask and pray for those who are coming on tonight, Father, Sister Malka and Sister Danielle, Father. If it's our will, Father, that you continue to uplift them, Father, that you remove anything so when they speak, Father, they'll be allowed to break chains, to share their stories, to uplift someone else, Father, because that's our job, Father God. We know and understand that, Father, that our job is to be lights to this world. Thank you, Father God, for choosing us. Forgive us for our sins, knowingly and unknowingly, Father. Anything that hinder us from you, Father. In Yahushua's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Shabbat as a heritage. In remembrance of creation, blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Shalom, family. Shalom once again. I'm your brother, Ariel, here again at Hebrew Culture, Hebrew Culture for that who don't know it, and with another segment of A Breach in the Spirit, Mental Illness, Demon Possession, Childhood Trauma. And those are the underlying things that we talked about at least a month ago, because this is actually my third segment. And if the first one was the introduction, last week we had brother, week before last we had Moray Daniel and Moray Maria, which hallelujah, Toda Abiyah once again for them brothers for coming on and opening up and sharing with the world, you know, sharing with anybody who would listen to their story, because we know that's how we learn. We learn that in the sense of seeing someone else go through it and how Abiyah brings them through it. That's what the word is. If we look into the word of Yahweh, we see in so many different stories how he had brought someone else through. But where, for us in these days and times, we have to have that faith. He gives us the word, but do we believe in the word? He gives us ways out of it, but do we believe? And we're going to read a true story before we introduce my sister Martha and my sister Danielle coming on tonight, because they're going to talk about their life stories. They're going to bring some edification in their lives. And my sister Martha, as I was talking to her earlier, she dropped the seed in me. She dropped the seed, and when she dropped that seed, Abiyah watered it, and he gave the increase. You know, so I'm hoping and praying that it's all right when we read these scriptures tonight. My sister, but she brought it out to me earlier. So Abiyah, use that. Talk about that. Because just coming off a vacation, which it didn't feel like a vacation, right? Vacation for me is sitting back, relaxing, my toes in the sand, and just doing nothing. That was never the case. I was running around here, there, and everywhere, but I didn't get to just do and relax my mind, just chill. You know, for me, that's a vacation. I could sit on the beach or in some water all day long and just chill. For me, that's vacation. Not running here, not doing this, not doing this excursion, that excursion. That's for the kids. But the kids wanted daddy there, so I was there. But I would rather just sit on that beach and just talk to Abiyah, which I did get an opportunity a few times to hear the wind, and that's how I was able to see the new moon. Sitting there and looked up like, oh, wow, that's the new moon. Saw the scripture. Rabbi sent out the text, and soon he sent out the text, I was able to look up and see the new moon right then, take a picture and send it, which was beautiful and an honor for me. But vacation for me is just sitting and relaxing. You work all year long, and You just want to chill. You don't want to be running around. You can run around home. For me, I just rather sit and chill. But that's another story. Let's get into what Abba Yah taught me why I was. Because if we allow Abba Yah, he will teach us in everything. I don't think you're playing a sport. You're doing anything. Abba Yah is forever teaching his children. Forever teaching his children. And the thing was, he was showing me was choice. Choice. Choice in how do you renew your mind? How do your mindset change? And what I saw was a whole bunch of old people my age still trying to party and be hip and all that. And the thought came across my mind is, when does life turn a corner for you? Out of the will of Yahweh, you're not a believer. Even when does life turn a corner for you? And for some, it never does. Sadly, it never does. It never does. Grandma, 70 years old, still trying to walk up and down the beach like she's 30 night. No, Grandma, come on now. Put some clothes on. Come on now. Seriously, put some clothes on. But that's what came to mind. When does life turn a corner for you? When does your mind settle? When does your mind start to change? And choice. It's all about choice. Whatever we go through in our life, we have the ability to choose. At a moment, whatever we go through, we can choose. And that's what he was showing me. I did have some scriptures to go through that, but I don't want to be long, so I got just two scriptures, the two stories I want to go through that Abba Yah put in my spirit. After Sister Malka planted the seed earlier, and Abba Yah watered it and gave the imprint. So we want to go to Luke 8. And I will be reading out of the WEBA, Luke 8. And we have read this story, but if you haven't, I'm going to read it for you, starting at verse 43. But this is the woman with the issue. This is the woman with the issue that we'll be reading about tonight, and I'm guessing I'm sounding okay because I didn't get no text. Hey, brother, we can't hear you. So good. I'll take it for that. A woman who had a flow of blood. Toda Hakote. A woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her living on physicians and could not be healed by any. And we don't take our time with that. We don't get it to the interview, but I open up. It got to touch the ear, right? You have to get in there, and you have to maybe knock some of the hardness off. Maybe you have to get in there and knock some of the things that don't want to hear the way, right? Because the bottom line is what we are talking about with these 7 weeks. And for all the lessons, if you know it or not, all the lessons about healing, all the lessons about growing, becoming a better believer, becoming more in tune with the Spirit of Yahweh. So in one way or another, Abba gives the Marais lessons, regardless of which way they come or how he bring them. They're about healing. They're about becoming a better believer. They're about making that relationship with us and Abba closer. And the way we do that is through some of education, through some of understanding who we are and how we are and what makes us. So each lesson has a portion of that in it. Each lesson has a portion of correction in it. And if we have been corrected in one way or another, that is a way of getting closer to the Most High, because whatever we need corrected in is so we can get rid of what's holding us or what's hindering us from our relationship with the Most High. Just like the brother brought out, I believe that was Brother Harbell, this past weekend brought out Brother Job. Brother Job, scripture, it started off, he was righteous, he was upright in all his ways. That's how the story in the book of Job started off. He was. But there's something within Job that was a flaw, that was a hindrance to Abba Yah. us get up and think that we are righteous, that we are doing right by Yahweh. But there's some hindrance there. Why did Abba Yah put that story in there? Why did you even start that way, Abba? Why you start the story off that way, that he was upright, most perfect in all his ways, right? Why you start it off that way? But then allow Satan to touch him, and then just touch him in any way. He touched the man. So there was something deep down within Job that Job didn't even know. That way. I am. Brothers have been bringing out, they have things that were deep down, just like Brother Job, that Abba Yah had to send them, and we had to go through certain situations in our life so we can become better believers, so we can become better use for Abba Yah. Better use. Because situations, we don't know. We don't know we like that until Abba Yah brings it out of us. Job thought he was good. In his mind, he thought he was righteous. Certain areas he was. And like us, certain areas we are righteous. We are doing the right thing. But to become like Yahushua, because that's the path that we're on, that's the road that we're on. We got to dig up those weeds along the way that have been planted years ago that we never got up. Never got up. A woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her living on physicians and could not be healed by any. Could not be healed. Think about that. Think about us. Let's make this personal. Think about us and what we do in trying to heal ourselves, trying to better ourselves in so many different ways. You know, you'll have people who use the term the world does anyway, energy. I don't be around people who messes up my energy. But hold up. You could think your energy is on point. You could think that you have a positive energy. But there's some negativity in there. First of all, what they saying is my spirit. That's just the slang for my spirit. But you'll hear it so many times. I don't be around people who messes up my energy. 44. Came behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately the flow of her blood stopped. She made a choice, family. She's been dealing with something for 12 years. It's been bothering her for 12 years. And again, she's an Israelite. She's an Israelite woman. She had been to physicians. She had been to healers. She had been to a lot of things. But she had this issue of blood for 12 years. And again, for y'all who have heard it, we want to dig down. We want to open this thing up. We want to really see what's in the Word. But she said in her heart, in her mind, that's Yahushua. I'm going to bend down, and I'm just going to touch one of his fringes. I heard so much about him. I just got to touch one of his fringes. Let me continue. 45. Yahushua said, who touched me? And how we always ended up, we don't understand it. May Abba Yah give us the understanding. Can parallel to where are you? Where are you? Or how you get here? Remember he asked, who was that? Brother Eliyahu? He asked Adam, where are you? Eliyahu, how did you get here? Now, the question changed. This is the same one. Said to Adam. This is the same one that said to Eliyahu and asked those questions. Now he's in the flesh. Now he's asking this lady, this sister, touch me. Let's use our imagination. Who touched me? Go back to the sister. She's been dealing with the issue for 12 years. She wants to be healed of this issue. She done tried everything that man can offer. Everything the man can offer. She made a choice. Him to heal me. I want him to heal me. 45 again, family. Yahushua said, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitude press and jolt you, and you say, who touched me? Listen to Kepha. Listen to how Kepha acts. Hold up now, Yahushua. Hold up. I know you ain't going crazy now, Yahushua. All these people around you pushing and driving. You're the superstar right now. Everybody else running around trying to touch it, get close to you, and everybody is just bunging up together. All these people out here touching you, who touched you. Now, Yahushua. And what Yahushua meant. He didn't understand it. But Yahushua said, someone did touch me, for I perceive that power has gone out of me. You don't understand what I'm saying, Kepha. I know people all around me touching me, doing all this, but who is real? Who wants to be healed? Who is really searching for me? Who touched me? Whatever we going through. Whatever we going through. He knows us. He know where our mind at. He know where we are. He know how we got there. He know who touched him. Power. Healing came from him. He knew it. But he wanted the crowd to stop. He wanted everybody to see this is the way how you get to me. He wanted everybody to stop. Think about it. Let's use our imagination. The whole crowd stopped. Y'all be sure. Bang, he stopped. Nobody touched me. All these crowds around. Got a sister over there. It's like the crowd opened up and everybody here turned towards the sister. Everybody's eyes was on the sister now. Even after Kepha asked the question, he let Kepha know, hey, I know. Somebody touched me. But somebody needed healing. Somebody went deep. Somebody removed everything, all fears, all anxiety, and they touched me. Healing. I didn't even have to look at her. Look, see this? I wasn't even looking at her. She touched my zeet. Felt her. I felt her spirit. I felt her longing. I felt what she wanted. Something that was deep down inside her. She wanted to be healed. Felt her. My attention. She got what she wanted. Let's move on. Let's see. When the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She humbled herself. She humbled herself. Why? Because she wanted to be healed. Humbled herself. Said it before him. Falling down before him. Declared to him in the presence of all people. Presence of all people. Yahushua, I don't care who looking. I don't care who they what they say about me. I don't care. I wanted to be healed. The crowd around me, but I'm at a point where I have nothing else to offer. I have to humble myself. I could care less what they think about me. To be held in the presence of everybody. Different than what them brothers did a couple weeks ago. No different but what Yaquiel has been doing for a couple of months now, in the presence of everybody crying out to healer, afraid of what their faces say, not afraid of how they look at her, afraid of what they think about them. Their souls out last week. I've been pulling his soul out for a while now, not caring in the presence of everybody. We live in scripture here, that death Yahweh. That's why we do. We got to live this thing. Because we made an oath to Abba Yah. She came trembling, falling down before him, declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Did not care. Did not care about her. Healed me. I'm going to shout it out on the rooftop. Remove that thing that I had for 12 years. 48. He said to her, daughter, cheer up. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Well, no, I'm not even going to read that. Just 48 is good. Healed her. She made a choice, a conscious choice. All I got to do is touch his ears. But within that conscious choice, the truth lies. The truth has to lie. Lie not as in telling the fear, but lie as in lay down. It has to be there. It has to. What your true feelings are will be there. Can't go there faking. Can't go there faking. And one more family, just there's some thoughts that Abba Yah gave me with us. It's about choice. One more, and we in Yaconet. My sister gave me Yaconet 5 through 9. I'm going to start off 1 through 9. 1 through 9. And we have read this before, and for those who haven't, Abba Yah will open it up for us. Abba Yah will open it up. After these things, there was a feast of the Yahudim, and Yahushua went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool, which is called in Hebrew, Bethesda, excuse me, family, having 5 porches. These lay a great multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, or paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was healed, whatever disease he had. A certain man was there who had been sick for 38 years. Again, we have to ask these questions when these type of things come to us. Why is it Abba Yah? Why is it Abba showing us or giving us these length of times? Was it 12 years with the lady of Israel blood? 38 years with this man. What is he saying? What do we learn from these things? 12, I mean, we don't get into the 12. We just get into the 38 years and not getting into it as some deep spiritual thing that's way over there and I showed you. Show the people. No, not that. Not just that. What it is these things that alien us or bothering us or been deep down whipping us for a long time. We could be 60-something. We had this thing attached to us for 38 years, for 40 years, for 10 years, for 5 years, for 1 year. So it is not this time that we want to look at in the sense of some big spiritual deep thing. No, it's the initial time that something has been alien us or bothering us or deep down whipping us for that long period of time. Right? And it's not until we come in contact with Yahushua that we get freed of that thing. Or we give it over to Yahushua. Yahushua, like Brother Joe, shows us where we've been wrong for all these years. Or having something that's a breach or something that's like, hindering, just keeping us from growing. A certain man was there who had been sick for 38 years. When Yahushua saw him laying there and knew that he had been sick for a long time, he asked him, hold on, that's us. Just like Brother Job. We don't think nobody knows deep down in there. We don't think that nobody knows that thing that we've been hiding deep down within ourselves. How we know or know? Wanted his people to know, he'll tell them and they'll tell you. I don't care how long it's been there. He knows. Yahushua saw him lying there and knew that he had been sick for a long time. He asked him, do you want to be made well? That very question right there. We have a choice to it. We have a choice to that question. We have a choice. And I'm not going to go too deep in it because I'm allowed our coaching to go into some things tonight and what Abiyah have gave her in the journey that he has up. So without any further ado, but we all have question answer. Do we want that thing? Do we want to be healed of? That question is asked to us. We have to say yes. We have to say, yes, Abiyah, I want to be healed. Yes, Abiyah, I want you to change me. To say that. This thing. Well, then sometimes Abiyah, like Brother Joe, I got to send my son, my daughter to some show enough, because some things about them they not recognizing about themselves. So I have to go. I have to show them what they missing about themselves. And sometimes that pill is hard. That's a hard pill to swallow sometimes. That Abiyah, look at Brother Job. That is the ultimate example of showing a believer some things about themselves that they didn't know about themselves. That is the ultimate example that we have in the scripture. That one right there. Without further ado again, my sister, Malka, I want her to introduce herself, and Sister Danielle, she can introduce herself, and we can move on from there.
Shalom, shalom, Aki.
Shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Aki. Wow. It's been a long time, right, Ak?
Yes. This is where we started. Hallelujah.
This is where we started, right? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So thank you for giving me the opportunity to come online and kind of share, what the Father has been leading me to do in the past maybe year and a half or 2 years, as far as becoming a spiritual life coach and a mentor for women in the body. And it came from a place of, I reflect on my walk and my life. I think the Father has put the burden of his daughters on my heart.
Amen.
And I always felt like women need to be protected, right? And that's not coming from a place because I felt like I wasn't protected. I don't have that experience of feeling unprotected. But for whatever reason, ever since I came into the faith, I always felt like women, daughters of Yah, are precious to him.
Amen.
We are we are his little girls. And
yeah.
I often think of him of just like a daddy who loves his daughters. And
yeah.
So he put it on my heart for a long time. Like I said, I reflect back. You know, it was that same mind that led me to do the women's retreat in the assembly. It was the same mind that had us start Daughters of Yah with the young girls in the congregation. And it's that same spirit that has brought me to Titus to life coaching, because I saw a need in the women of Israel. I'm late to Facebook, right? I've probably been on Facebook now for maybe two and a half years. And I went in there with purpose, right? I went there with the intention of connecting with women in the body begin to build something outside of just what we see around us, right? There's believers all over the world. And that's something he has always placed on my heart as well, reach out-minded women. So that was my purpose of getting on Facebook. But when I got on Facebook, I was unpleasantly surprised when I saw the confusion. I saw women being tossed to and fro, being misled, used, being abused, not being grounded, not knowing the basics of who they are, who they personally are, separate from being a wife, being a mother, but who are you, right? My thing is every woman, right, you are a daughter of God first.
Yes.
You're not guaranteed to be anybody's wife, and you're not guaranteed to be anybody's mother. But the fact that you are a woman makes you automatically a daughter of the Most High.
Amen.
So if we don't understand who we are and that we have a daddy, then we allow ourselves to be tossed to and fro. And I am a doer. I'm not a kind of person to sit back and see something and be like, wow, that's really whatever, right? So I began to pray about it and ask the Father, you know, like, what can I do, if anything? So on the other side of the coin, I went to see a life coach during COVID, and, you know, she was pretty effective. But what bothered me was she was just a regular person giving me her thoughts and ideas and suggestions. And that was okay, but that's not who I am, right? My worldview is biblical. And the Father just one thing led to the next, and I prayed and I asked for confirmation. And I was like Gideon, you know, make the cotton dry and the ground wet. Okay, now make the ground dry, wet and the cotton dry. It was like that, right? I wanted to be sure. And he gave confirmation. And the purpose of Titus II Life Coaching is to partner with women in the body of the Messiah to help them grow closer to Abba through his word and by developing a personal relationship with him. So when he gave me Titus 2, right, and I read it, when I read Titus 2, it doesn't, verses 3 to 5, it doesn't sound to me like a suggestion, right? To me, when I read it, I get the force of it's what is expected of us. Titus was sent to organize the assemblies around Asia. He was sent out by Paul, and Paul is telling Titus how to arrange the assemblies. And one of the things he says about the aged women, he tells the aged women in verse 3, likewise, that they be in behavior as become holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of Elohim be not blasphemed. That to me is not a suggestion, right? That is telling us as elders in the body, this is what you're supposed to be doing, because the reality is we are in a spiritual war, right? We have trauma, we have mental illnesses, we have and all these things are spiritual, you know, emotional, all of this, you know, the world says is mental illness, but it's a spiritual condition.
Yes.
And the Father, he wants to heal us. He wants us to be helped. Ultimately, he is our healer. He tells us that in Exodus, that he is our healer. But he also wants us, right? The Messiah said, greater works you will do. So we have a responsibility to be the hands of the Most High. And that comes in the form of helping young women in the faith in this walk. And not just in the faith. You can have a woman that's been walking this way for 20 years, but she has been married for 1 year. Guess what? She needs someone to come beside her and help her become a good wife. Because that's new for her.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
So when it was never my intention that this was going to be the Malka show. My intention is that this becomes something that begins to grow, where elders are coming in, they're learning their part, because in verse 3, he deals with the elders first, right? Behave set apart.
That's right.
Don't be false accusers. Don't be overtaken by wine, and teach good things. But then he don't leave us to figure out what is good. He tells us what are the good things to teach our young women, right?
That's right.
And young women who's coming into the faith, so often they like, I don't know what to do. I don't know who to talk to. You know who they talk to? They talk to someone their own age.
Right.
We're not going to, a 15-year-old is not going to get wisdom from another 15-year-old. Y'all both in the same stage of life of being teenagers.
Right.
But as elders, and you know, even though he's talking to the age women, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander when something like this is practical and functional, right? If you're walking this way, we have a responsibility to coach and mentor every new believer that comes across our path.
That's right.
That's what I believe is. That's what I believe Titus intends. The message of Titus 2, the intention was that we do the work that is necessary in the body. We help women build their relationship with the Father, but then heal from trauma. You know what is trauma? A traumatic thing is walking this way for 20 years, you know, walking in the world for X amount of years and then coming out of that into this way of life, that's traumatic.
Yeah.
That's a form of
trauma.
Yes, because
absolutely.
Something is going to, you're going to die, right? The person you are will no longer exist. The person that, the only person that you know as you slowly will die. That's traumatic.
Yes. Yes, it is.
But, and this is why we need each other to help burden this transition as we come out of the world and we come into this walk. We need like-minded brothers and sisters to love and support and encourage and edify and correct and hold accountable. And doing that by using his word, right?
Amen.
I'm not using, you know, for me, you know, like all of us, you know, we have the same thought. The Bible is what we use. That's the tool, right? We have to, you know, the world has taken things of the Bible and they have used it for the world. I call it robbery. Because what they've done is they've taken it, used it because it works, but they don't give credit to the Creator.
That's
but now they have
that's
this thing, this, they have this technique called CBT, cognitive behavior technique or therapy. As a life coach, I can't use the word quote-unquote therapy because I'm not a therapist, but it's a technique. And the technique comes from scripture, right? If we take a look at Philippians, let's go to... Let me see. I had it right here. Give me a second. All right. So if we go to Philippians chapter 4.
What day?
All right. So he says in verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to unto Elohim. And the peace of Yah, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through the Messiah, Yahushua. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's cognitive behavior therapy right there, right?
That's
thinking
right. That's right.
Changes your behavior.
That's right.
Right? This
That's
is
right.
Go back to Romans. You know, be transformed by renewing the mind, not the action.
That's right.
The mind comes
That's
first.
Right. Amen.
Scripture says,
Amen.
As a man thinketh, so that he is. Right?
Amen.
But
yes.
the world is taking this
yes.
technique and they're running with it, and it works because it does work.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual
mm-hmm.
exists before the physical.
That's right.
So when
That's
we,
right.
as we counsel women and we give them advice or we give them the structure that they need to help get them in a better place in their relationship with the Father or to deal with their marriages, it all comes from the scripture. And it all begins with
Hallelujah.
How you think. Like Ema Deborah's favorite thing, how you're thinking.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Ken, I want to interrupt real quick. Just wanted to give everybody a heads up. You okay with this also? You can call in. If you want to call in and ask questions, you want to call in and give a testimony or just
Hallelujah.
Have something to say. You can call in. I believe Rabbi is on the switchboard, and he'll be able to let you in.
Hallelujah.
Also, we look forward to people calling in, and because again, it's about healing.
Amen.
It's about getting it out and not hiding it, and not hiding. Earlier, you talked about how people stay in trauma. You know how they like the trauma that they get.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us a little bit about that, Dr. Cole.
Amen. Hallelujah. So it kind of anchors in itself with the scripture you shared from John. You know, why did
mm-hmm.
the Messiah have to ask him that question, right? This man is
mm-hmm.
he's obviously lame. He's by the pool for a reason. It's one of those
right.
rhetorical
right.
questions, right? Of course the
mm-hmm.
Messiah knows he wants to be healed, but sometimes we have to
yeah.
ask our own selves, do you want to be healed? Because what
yeah.
we get so comfortable in our dysfunction that becomes how we identify ourselves. And
Amen.
If we're honest with ourselves, there's fear when it comes to healing, because then the
mm-hmm.
question becomes, who am I, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before I was
mm-hmm.
this person where my story was, I was molested, I was abused, I was fill in the blank. But now when you're healed,
mm-hmm.
you don't know who you are, right? Now you don't have a story,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
Unless, until
yeah.
you
yeah.
realize that your story now becomes the story of deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
Why did
That's
the Father
right.
allow these things to happen? You mentioned it earlier, right? The Father is strategic,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the Father, he is worthy to be praised, and he is deserving
yes.
of glory, and he
yes.
does things to bring glory to his name.
Yes, amen.
Right? So we had an incident
yes.
one time when, and Danielle could share more of her story, but there was one time when we first began to face her mental struggles when she was young. You know,
mm-hmm.
my husband and I, we had no idea. We didn't know what to do. And so we did all that we knew to do, right, which was to pray
yes. mm-hmm.
and then to
mm-hmm.
sing, right? So I was holding her. I was cradling
mm-hmm.
her like a baby. At this point, she's probably like 12. And I'm cradling her like a baby, and I'm singing a psalm. My husband had finished. He had just finished praying, and she fell straight to sleep like a baby. And I took a picture of that, and I showed it to her the next day.
Mm-hmm.
To show her from where comes her healing, right?
Amen.
And I
Amen.
Asked Abba,
Amen.
Why did
mm-hmm.
he allow her to have such struggles, right? And one of the things that he
mm-hmm.
shared with me
mm-hmm.
was, there's people who need help,
yes.
right? How can he,
mm-hmm.
how can he help his children if he don't have other children that have been through what they're going through?
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
Psalms 23 says, as I walk through the valley of the
mm-hmm.
shadow of death, right?
That's right.
He says,
That's right.
walk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We got to walk through the trials of this life.
That's right.
And it's not only for us. It is for
mm-hmm.
how now do I use my testimony to help other people in the body. I tell my kids often
Amen.
That what happens to you is not just for you. You now have a testimony. That's your testimony.
Amen. That's
when
right.
things happen to them,
that's
I tell
right.
them, that's your testimony. That's not my testimony.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
You know, so we have to choose to want to be healed. We have to not be afraid to lose the identity of being the victim. We have to replace what the enemy has stolen, because like we talked about earlier, then the enemy is going to just come back and see that your house has been swept. He's going to come back with seven demons stronger, and your end state will be worse than your first state. So
that's right.
Now this is where, again, another example of why we need, you need someone to partner with you through these, through this, this healing process. Because if you don't have fasting with you and praying with you and calling and checking on you and reading scripture with you to replace that old person that you thought you were, the enemy's coming back for you.
He's coming. That's right.
He's coming.
He's coming.
And he's patient.
Ain't no doubt about it. Yeah, he is. And he's waiting for the smallest of cracks. And with that, sometimes we don't even know he got in. We don't know that he got in, you know, and with that, I had a chance to talk with my youngest daughter, Mackenzie, who does deal with trauma, you know, and what you were saying is on point, sis, because every time she has to go and confront that, she dismisses. She don't want to go through that. She don't want to relive all that because, again, you talked about earlier, triggers. And sometimes it could be music. It could be somebody who looked like the person, somebody who touched the guy that touched her. It could be a multitude of things. But I noticed with her, she won't go there. And when I always tell her, she's going to have to confront that. But it's not easy. And talk to that for us.
Yeah, it's not easy because, and again, you know, it's not easy because we think we're doing it on our own strength. We have a comforter, right? The Messiah said, I have to leave because if I don't leave, the comforter won't come. And he will lead you and guide you in all things, right? If unless we know that, there's work that we do, but ultimately the healing comes from the Father. But like we said, you know, as I walk, you got to walk. You know, the boogeyman will scare you, but one time after you see him, right? After you see him, and he can't scare you no more. You know, for me, my experience for my experience of having any form of therapy is prayer for me, because the Holy Spirit will lead me to look at things I don't want to look at. But I'm not afraid because I'm aware that, first of all, is the Holy Spirit leading the thoughts and that I'm not alone. So with Mackenzie, she would definitely need to foster that relationship with the Father that she can have that proclamation, he will never leave me nor forsake me. You know, as I walk through the valley, he's right there with me. Now, that has to become her mantra so she can feel strong enough to be able to
look
the boogeyman. Look the boogeyman in the face. You know, when we deal with the pain, right, the pain is going to come. That's part of it, right? But if we reflect on it, right, we reflect on everybody who was involved, we find forgiveness, we pray for them, we try to understand why the situation might have happened or why they did what they did. You know, all these things you can just process in the mind.
Right.
But with the help of the Holy Spirit, the end result should be progress, should be healing. Right, and the healing is not. It's, you know, you could have an acute healing, or you could have a healing that's going to take a long time. Right, so when the Messiah says, "Pick up your bed and walk," that's a complete healing, right?
Right.
But some healing is going to be. It might take longer. Perfect example of that is David. Right, David, warrior king, but this brother suffered from depression. If you read his, if you read the Psalms, right. I call it the David formula, right? When you read his psalm, like, you know, Psalms 3 or Psalm 6, he always starts off, oh, my God, oh, why is this happening to me? Oh, my enemies are going to kill me. They're going to destroy me. Oh, why? Woe is me. But then as he gets to the end of the Psalms, he begins to praise Yahweh.
Hallelujah. Right?
This is what I call the David formula. Cry out to him. Moan and groan to him, but then praise him.
Amen.
Thank him for who he is.
Amen.
And find joy in that. He was a depressed man, but he wrote songs of praise.
Yes, that's
so,
right.
So
yes,
how
he
depressed
did.
Was he?
Yes, he did.
Right? He took, the scripture says, to take every thought captive and make it be
that's
obedient.
Right. That's right.
That's exactly
that's right.
What he, that's why, how he was able to write what he wrote. He acknowledged it. We can't ignore these thoughts. We can't ignore these feelings. We can't ignore our experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But then what do you do when you pay attention?
Mm-hmm.
Do you build it up as an altar in your life, like this is who I am? Or do you use it for a learning, right? All things work for the good.
Yeah.
All things work for
that's
the good.
Right.
You mean me being molested and raped or drugged, whatever the case, that's for my good? Yep, because Yahweh could use it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And for a new believer, that would be hard. That's a hard pill to swallow.
Yep.
But like you were saying, that's why you need someone. You need that elder sister, the elder brother. You need someone with experience in Yahweh's word, in Yahweh's living within Torah, understanding Torah. You need someone with experience.
Amen.
That's why he took Israel 40 years through the wilderness. Hey, at the end of this, 97% of y'all will fall off. I'm only going to use three of y'all. Right? Those who understood, those who matured through, right? Who came to understanding that I'm a believer, but I'm in this world and I have feelings, I have emotions, I go through things. And that's where we try to get the believers to get and understand that you're going to go through some things. Some hard things, some hard pills as well. Like you said, one of my favorite ones, not my favorite, but one that I opened about David, he said he cried so much that he couldn't cry no more. His tear ducts were dry. He cried till his eyes were swollen. That's some deep emotions that the brother going through.
Amen.
But Yahweh said he was his beloved, right? Yahweh said he loved David, right? He had a great love for David. David, again, his life is another example for us how to be in this world, how the highs and lows. This man was king of Israel, and not just any Israel. His kingship pointed to someone. His kingship pointed to Yahushua, the ultimate king.
Amen.
And he had to go through all that in life. You mean tell me, Abba, you couldn't find no other way to send this brother through life? His life represented Yahushua's kingship. But I don't want to talk too much because it's about you and what Abba Yah has been doing with you so we can start this healing. We can start lifting up the younger sisters and the elders.
Yes.
Can elder sisters. Can start moving because yes, we are here, Beth Yahweh, but we are part of the whole, the nation of Israel. We are a small part of the nation of Israel, but as I look at it, we are Israel.
Amen.
You're elder over here, and you're Moray over here. You're Moray in Israel. Don't just Moray for just one section over here. I've called you have and anointed you for the whole nation. There was no separation. And if we're coming back to that, there is no separation. We are a small part of the whole. I don't want to keep interrupting.
Oh, no. You're good, Ak. You know, basically that's basically, you know, that's the brunt of what I wanted to share as far as the call on every elder's life is a requirement. I think it's up there with, you know, when the Messiah said to go out and make disciples, right? You know, I think that led to Titus, that Titus 2 is an extension of what is expected of us as believers, and that is to use the word of Yah to help bring healing to his people, right? To give them hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Father, he's a mighty one of hope. You know, our whole existence is hope, right? That's his faith, right? We have an expected hope that we will, you know, see the other side of this life, right? We'll see our Messiah.
Yeah.
And you know, the other part of healing is, you know, we tend to believe that because we are believers, you know, we shouldn't have to go through sufferings and, you know,
mm-hmm.
we'll be punished for
mm-hmm.
something, and, you know, but that's not necessarily true. You know, life
right.
happens to everyone that's alive, you know, but
that's right.
if you suffer your whole life on this side of life, we have hope in the world to come, you know,
Amen.
And
that's
the reality. You know, our wholeness, you know, the root of the word healing in Hebrew is rapha, and it means
mm-hmm.
to make whole. But our wholeness
no.
is not going to come on the side of life, right?
No.
The wholeness, right? That's why he says in Revelation, there'll be no more tears, there'll be no more
yes.
sadness,
yes.
there'll be
that's
no
right.
more death, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if we
mm-hmm.
have to endure, like Paul, you know, that thorn in his flesh, right?
Right.
Sometimes the thing that we have to suffer is just our thorn in our flesh. Right?
That's
he
right.
says, when you're
that's
weak,
right.
I am strong. Everybody walking.
Right.
Can you imagine if every believer walking around here is strong and bold, and where would the Father be in our lives? Right? We feel like we got
right.
this.
Right.
You know?
Right.
He
that's
causes
right.
different
right.
things to keep us humble, to keep us on our
mm-hmm.
knees, to keep
mm-hmm.
us on our faith
mm-hmm.
before him. And, you know, the scripture says that the Messiah was a man of sorrow. So why are we
that's
going
right.
to walk around
that's
here
right.
thinking every day is going to be good? And if you get a good day, hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Right? Hallelujah.
Right.
But if we get difficulties, right, the scriptures also said
mm-hmm.
that the Messiah learned obedience by the things he suffered.
Suffered. That's right. That's right.
He suffered to learn to be
mm-hmm.
obedient.
Mm-hmm.
We can fill in the blank. We got to go through what we got to go through to learn to be blank, to learn to be more loving, to learn to be more patient,
mm-hmm.
to learn to be more kind, right? We're being perfected.
Yes.
And
that's
he's
right.
using
that's
life
right.
to do it.
That's
right.
Right?
So instead of us feeling trapped by our past and
mm-hmm.
taking ownership of
mm-hmm.
our trauma, learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
He allowed it
that's
for
right.
a reason. You know, learn from it and then pack it away. You know,
that's
stop
right.
resurrect. Stop, you know, stop resurrecting. I remember I was at a supermarket one day, and these two ladies hadn't seen each other from the conversation, hadn't seen each other in a long time. And one
mm-hmm.
woman asked the other woman, "Oh my goodness, I haven't seen you so long. How are you doing?" "Oh, my blood pressure, my leg is swollen." And I'm thinking
mm-hmm.
to myself, "Wow, you haven't seen this lady in about how many years? You might not see her again for the next how many years? And all you want to remember about you was your aches and pains." Right? You couldn't find
wow,
any
yeah.
joy, the fact that you're alive, you're walking,
mm-hmm.
you can see,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is our
mm-hmm.
mentality. Our mentality has to change, you know, find
yeah.
joy
yeah.
even in our lowest points, right?
Amen. That's right. That's
can
right.
we worship
hallelujah.
The Father while we're, can we worship him while we're suffering?
Amen. That's right.
Right?
Hallelujah.
So I don't want to take up all the time, because I know you wanted to talk with Danielle as well, but, you know, we can go
yes,
on
indeed.
And on. But like I said, you know, Yah is good.
Hallelujah.
And I am grateful. I'm grateful that he has given me this service for the body and for his daughters. And I my continual prayer is that he bless it, he increase it, and that he
yes.
sends his daughters, both who can pour out and those who need to be poured into.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Definitely. Well, Sister Danielle is beside you?
No, she should be on the line.
Oh, she is on the line. Okay.
She should be on the line. Her phone number, so you can open her line. You see, her phone number is 760 443-760. Do you see that number?
I don't, I believe Rabbi is on the switchboard.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Okay, there she goes.
Shalom,
hallelujah.
My Koti.
Hey, Shalom.
Shalom, my Koti. How are you feeling tonight on this Shabbat?
I'm feeling well. I'm feeling well.
Hallelujah.
How are you?
I'm well. I'm happy to be back. Excited to
yeah.
talking about Yahweh's word, you know, it's a joy
yeah.
to talk about his word. But you know, you have an adversary who always trying to step in and keep us from just thinking about his word, just talking about his word. And as your email was saying all night, it's our job to be hope to the world, to give the world hope. And one way or another, it's either how we live, how we talk, how we treat people, and everything. Give them hope. Let them see that there's something different about us. But again, like I said to your email, I don't want to talk too much. Introduce yourself to the family.
My name is Danielle. You guys were just, you're talking to my mother. I don't even know what to say for an introduction.
It don't matter. Whatever's on your heart, whatever comes to your spirit. Whatever you want to talk about tonight, that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah. I think that listening to what my mother was saying, I think it's really interesting how I feel like a lot of what she was saying is fitting to where I am right now in my spiritual journey. And it's been really prevalent in my faith. And a lot of the things that she was saying really resonated with me. And which verse was it that we just, let's see which one. Luke 8. Oh, yeah, no. When we were originally reading Luke 8.
Yes.
And the verse says, but Yahushua said, someone did touch me, for I perceive that power has gone out of me. And that's something that I've been thinking about a lot in terms of like just energy. And what she was saying was interesting because like how she was talking about cognitive behavioral therapy and basically how the world has taken things, biblical things or things that Yahweh created for us and have just basically taken his name out of it, essentially. And I've been doing a lot of studies lately and listening to a lot of different podcasts about like around like energy healing and obviously manifestation. And I've related to what she was saying when she was basically saying that like she would talk to a life coach, but they didn't have any grounds in spirituality. And I'm listening to like these podcasts about like spirituality, like I guess when people say like, oh, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual, I think is kind of the vibe. But they have a lot of good, interesting things to say. And then like they would say things and in my mind I would be like, well, this like directly relates to Yahweh in this way. I found myself more and more basically being like, I wish that I could take the information that I'm getting about like specifically about energy healing like write out the direct connection and relation that it has to just being healed by Yahweh. And so that's why I was saving the verses that you were reading and that she was reading, and I was bookmarking them with the label healing. And it's so kind of crazy because that's what has been my focus for like the past week specifically. And I just feel like there have been a lot of like dominoes falling into place of just information that I need to hear. So that's kind of just like what I wanted to say initially.
Okay.
But going back to what she was saying about like cognitive behavioral therapy, I think that there's so many. I have a passion for psychology, and obviously, like I went through like a lot of, I still go through a lot of mental health tribulations, And through that journey, I got interested in psychology. And I like information. I like learning. I like reading. And something that I've been feeling more inspired to do recently is really, I've just had the desire to really, like, just write out how to, I think that it's easy to, when we seek Yahweh for healing, to pray and be diligent and be faithful.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of the times, that's really all you hear. And obviously, not to belittle that, I'm saying that, like, I believe that there are intentional, like, I've been learning a little bit about Reiki, which is, like, energy healing. And I think that there are practices, like, spiritual practices that go along with praying and being faithful. And that's why I thought it was interesting, that verse when Yahushua said, I felt power go out of me. Which is a lot. I've been studying was basically in the garden when Yahweh said, create man in our image, in our likeness. And I just believe that we have that power, but it's not that we have the power. We have, and being faithful, I guess what I'm saying is, like, we have more power than we think that we do. And that power in the world is basically, like, people are like, oh, the energy is coming from the universe, and this is the power that we have as beings in the universe. And I'm like, it's more connected to Yahweh than that. And that's a narrative that I'm not hearing in a lot of, like, the studies that I'm listening to and reading. Mm-hmm. And I think that I'm kind of conceptualizing actively, like, what I'm thinking and the connections that I'm making. So, like, I feel like I'm not really speaking very clearly because it's something that I'm still conceptualizing. But, like, I'm really seeing connection between the power of prayer and being faithful. And also, instead of relying on, like, talk therapy or medication, because, you know, I've been on medication since high school. It's been a long time, and I'm an advocate for it. I think that I started I guess I can, like, kind of go back. Like, way back. When I was in high school, I was 16, and I was seeing the school counselor, and he's the one who set me up with a therapist for the first time. And I'd been going through depression from what I can remember. I feel like the earliest I can remember was being 9. And then when I was 12, when I turned 12, or basically in that span of time, it had become more prevalent or, like, basically regular to be sad. And so it wasn't until I was 16 that I went and talked to a therapist, and that was interesting. And they recommended medication at the time. We weren't really open to it, but as things got a little progressively worse, it just ended up being the right move. And I think that it's important because there's, like, my mother was saying, like, at the time, she was like, her and my father didn't really know. Like, that was the beginning of us going on a journey to really the realm of psychology and mental illness. So it's like when it's like medication, it's kind of like you don't need the medication. Like this is their spirits. We pray. We work really like in that way.
Right.
And I think that what I'm gathering now, not gathering, but what I'm conceptualizing really is taking, like we are more spiritual than we are physical, but yeah. Inevitably we are still physical beings. Like we still have, what's the word I'm looking for? We have to be maintained, obviously, with food and water and exercise, the whole thing. And I think that something that we can't forget is that there's a reason why medicine has gotten to where it is. I think that the knowledge comes, obviously, like, the knowledge is not coming from man. The process of people learn, like going into psychology or going into psychiatry and developing medicines, that is, in my mind, like blessed knowledge. You know what I mean? So it's like be willing to take what the world has to offer and being discerning. But there's, I always think of like the story of like, I think like it was a flood and a man was standing on top of his house and people are going by and he's like, no, God is going to save me. And like people come by in a boat and they're like, we're coming to save you. And he's like, no, God is going to save me. I think someone came in a helicopter and he's like, I don't need you. Like God is going to come save me. And then obviously he basically passed up every life, like lifeboat that, right, every opportunity that what he wasn't understanding that was God saving him. So it's like, I think sometimes we can give less credit to the physical when the physical in my understanding is like everything is so influent. Like I don't. What we have is not ours. Like everything that we have, the intelligence that we have as human beings was all inspired by God.
Yes, we have the ability to learn. Yes,
right.
I have a question. Though you said you started at nine years old. How did you recognize it, and what do you think started it at 9 years old? I want to go back to the root of it.
Yeah.
What do you think started it at 9 years old?
I can laugh at it, but I remember I had a realization that one day my parents were going to die. And I was, I think, like, as a child, like, everybody, we get that realization at some point where we're like, oh, man, like, my parents aren't going to be here forever. And I think everybody kind of, like, that's just, I feel like a phase of growing up when you have that realization. And I can remember that being the first time I was like, wow, life is kind of sucky, because that's an inevitability. So really, like, it really started in the fear of just death and losing, and the fact that those two things are inevitabilities was easy for me to stay in a place where I'm like, this is just inevitably going to happen, like. And I didn't actually recognize it until I was like teens, when I feel like I was starting to feel depressed more frequently. That's something that I always remember. Like one night I was like in my bed, like I was crying for all night pretty much, thinking like, oh my God, like my parents are going to die one day. I can't deal with that. And that's when I was like, oh wow, like this kind of started, because I think that the foundation or the backbone of my depression when I was younger was really like, I just didn't like the concept of life. I did not like life as a concept or living, because I was just like, it's cruel. It's painful. And I had really bad anxiety. So I was just constantly anxious about literally the worst case scenario. So that's really,
can we go back and examine that?
Yeah.
I'll just touch it a little bit more. From what I'm hearing is at 9 years old, you started to think about your parents going to die. And the first thought or the thought that came to you, you said that life is sucky, right? That
yeah.
That's unfair. In other words, it's unfair. And when you get to the bottom of that thought, right, it's unfair, you get to a point where, well, who created all this? Who did all this, right? Unknown to you. You know, you're not unknowing that these thoughts are still being planted in your head as you thinking that my parents will die. Now your thoughts are, well, who created all this? Who did all this, right? But in reality, you know, but not down in that subconscious is where this unclean spirit is dealing with you. Because if we can go back and see where he first started, where these thoughts first started coming from. But on the flip side of that, life is beautiful, as your mother was bringing out, because you have hope at the end of this with understanding, but you just a nine-year-old child. He
right.
knows, that spirit knows and understands that you don't truly grasp the concept of what a believer is, what it is to believe and have and hope in the Most High. He knows and understands it, so he started with that back at 9 years old. He started planning these thoughts in it, and those thoughts, maybe you shared them. I don't know if you shared them with your mother and father, because if you was able to share them with them, I'm quite sure that they would have, oh, no. Yes, we all going to die. Every single thing in this world is going to pass away. But we have hope that we will rise and see glory again. We will see y'all again, because we are raising y'all in the sense of being believers. But in the subconscious, deep down up under there, is life is sucking. Thing right, this is not fair, and not knowing to you, all that's going to Yahweh. All those thoughts, all those emotions is towards him, because you don't know and understand it, that he is the giver and author of life. You're 9 years old, you're 12 years old by the time you start fearing somebody, and he don't understand, whoever the therapist is, that these things are subconscious, they deep, they up under there. They there, and this thing is whispering, and it's coming to you again, like the brothers brought out last week. They well in Mariala, is that when you was alone, you got these thoughts. But at those times of alone is when they attack the most. Is when they build. Is when they build nests, so to speak. Right, they dig in, and that thing goes on and on and on and till we adults. Now, and I believe I shared the story of something that happened to me as a kid. You know I shared the story as my wife, something happened to her as a kid, that an unclean spirit came to her at a young age. I remember her telling me the story of a man in a black hat, all black, and he floated. He ain't walked, he floated. And understanding as a believer in the faith and Zakin Eliezer was showing me and telling me some things about these men in black hats that he had experienced with these, and they were unclean spirits. They come, they whisper. And my kids, they felt the same way. Every time we talk, Dad, you got to bring the word. You got to bring the word. That ain't the be-all, end-all, but it is. It is the be-all, end-all. And the wisdom on the parent side to be able to take the practical and bring in a spiritual understanding. We don't have to always use book, chapter, and verse. There is practical knowledge out here that have evolved from the word, as your mother talked about earlier, and they're using it now in the physical world or the everyday life. You know, you go through a many psychiatrist books, they borrowed from Abba's word. You go through many therapist books, they borrowed from Abba's word. But like the lady with the issue, she tried everything until she said, I'm going to touch him and he's going to give me that, heal me from whatever this thing is bothering me. But for you, I understand now that this started back at 9 years old. This is the root of the thing. This is where it started. And life went on. And as life went on, we as a lady with the issue, she tried many other things. Many other things. Until Yahushua moved back. Yes, there will be spiritual energies. But then again, you have to ask yourself, what side is these spiritual energies are on? Is they coming from Abba spiritual energy, or is they coming from Hillel, Satan's spiritual energy? Because both of them have spiritual energy. Like you would hear the person that talks about, I'm spiritual, fine, that's nice. Well, what spirit are you following? What spirit is teaching you? What spirit is guiding you? What spirit, as we learned, I believe it was a couple of weeks ago, the Diguel taught that Satan can turn himself into an angel of light, so he can remove some things. He can help some things. But we get to the root of that, and that's where we got to start our battle. We got to go all the way back to the root, to the first problem, and now you understand and know, yes, my parents, one day will die. We all will die. But they have given their life to Yahushua, so they will live again. And if I want to live again, I got to do the exact same thing. I got to live the exact same way. Always, and that's why we on this journey, because we need to get back to the root of things. We need to get back to where it started from. And then we can start healing. Then we can start fighting. But we can't fight if we on the top of it. We gotta go dig deep down and dig up these things and get to the root of it. But I don't want to talk too much. Again, I'd rather for you to talk and how you feel and express yourself, because then it's experience. Because somebody else out here may be dealing with the exact same thing.
That's, like you said, kind of the insight that you don't fully have at that age, where it's like the physical world isn't, like, well, there's an afterlife, like, you know. And so it's like you said, everybody, we're all going to die, but we will be together again. And it's like, kind of like you said, like at nine, it's like, you're not thinking that, like, that far. Or you're not really considering the weight of that fact. And I think because, like, I think that's a thought that every child has, and I think that obviously every child responds differently. You can get stuck in a loop, or you can recognize it as a fact. Let it stress you out for a few weeks, and then it kind of fades.
Yeah.
Because you're nine and thing, I don't know, like. But yeah, that's it's interesting, the idea of trauma. Like trauma, I can recognize the what I consider to be like really the crux of my anguish, and it's still one of the main things that still plagues me.
Yeah.
And it's not like, I mean, obviously I still, I'm not crazy about the thought of losing anybody that I love, but it's like that mindset snowballed to basically all the negativity just outweighed the positive, I guess. So it's easy to be sad about it, I guess. Like, and I feel like that's kind of the thing about depression is you get one thought and then it's like the floodgates open pretty much. Like you have one thought and you're like, oh, life sucks because of this, and then every bad thing happens. You just add it to your basket of this is why life sucks. Like this is why.
Right.
This like just giving yourself more or getting stuck on the things that make you sad. It's something I think that I've been doing a lot better over the past few years. But it still catches me off guard sometimes when I have those moments where I'm depressed and I'm thinking like that's always like what my mind goes to is like life. I used to say that the good isn't worth the bad in life. Like I just was like the hurt hurts more than the good feels good. So that was kind of I think when you get into that mindset with depression, because I don't think that's just I think that's like a really common mindset really with depression, and that's why it's such a trap, because if that's how you feel, the only way to change your mind is to really believe differently. But it's like with depression, it's literally like you can't, like you're just stuck in a mindset. And I think that's really the whole cognitive behavioral therapy is literally about changing the way, like the therapy is changing the way that you think, really. Like it's completely changing your thought pattern, changing how you perceive reality, like and that's really like heavy, like because it's like once you are depressed, and then once you're depressed for so long, it's literally how your brain is programmed and wired.
Yeah.
And so you get to a point where you have deprogramming, like.
How often?
You were gonna say something.
Yes, how often when those come on that you reach out to your mother, your father, your sister, brother, or even a more that help you with that? As the more brought out a couple of weeks ago, because both of them dealt with the depression and more did well, and he even said that he was alone, and he had to come to understand that he can't be alone, because it's not just his thoughts plaguing him. It's not just his thought in the sense of he's thinking of all his negative thoughts. I mean, he came to understand that there's something that is whispering in his mind that he may think it's his thoughts, but he come to understand that it is not his thoughts. It is something else that is whispering in his mind and continue to egg him on because, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, the end goal for them is for us to not have salvation. That's the end goal. For us to not to have salvation is to end up doing something detrimental to ourselves. And if we do that, then we won't end up with salvation. So in these thoughts, when they come, tell Marie, reach out to your mother, your father. Talk about them. Open them up. And that's why we're doing this, because we got to get it out there in the face. Look, hello, I'm not alone no more. I'm not alone no more. I have a family around me. I have sisters around me. I have aunts, uncles. I have elders around me. I'm not fighting this alone. You're not going to sit and corner me and talk to me alone no more. Every time you come, I'm reaching out to Yahushua. I'm reaching out to my father, my mother, my rabbi. And I'm quite sure if these thoughts come along, all our phones will be open at any time of night. Any time of night. That is the Maureen's job. That is our job, to get up, to be that on-call doctor at any time of night for anybody in the congregation. That is all our job. So that right there, we have an escape. We have a way out. And the spirits don't want us to think that we have a way out, that we have nobody else. We especially somebody who's been through it. Moray Daniel, call him. He's been through it. He can tell you how he was alone in that room and what took place in that room. I'm quite sure y'all stories are a lot alike. Reach out. Don't let them unclean spirits corner you. Don't let them thoughts get you to that point. Whenever, reach out to the Moray. Reach out to your mother, to your Ema. And a lot that your Ema said, we hear. We heard, as a listening audience, we hear that you're saying it. You know, you hear that your mother said that we get comfortable in that. So you have a wealth of spiritual knowledge around you at all times. Don't let that corner you.
Yeah.
You don't have to at all. At all. And if anybody going to call in, or if you have anything else you want to say, you can say it. We have on 15 more minutes.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, off of what you said, that's like the depression, it specifically makes you want to isolate. And it's like, that's the worst thing that you can do. And it's one of the main things that you want to do when you're in that state.
And
so it is definitely, it's really important not to succumb to that desire to isolate. Because if you are depressed and you're alone, you cannot expect for the depression to just walk away. If you're not being fulfilled with, it doesn't even have to be specifically a positive energy. If you just sit in the living room when your family is walking throughout the house, just talking, that's at least energy that's not depression. Like, you know, so it's important, even if you're not interacting, to not just be around only your depressed thoughts and your depressed energy. That's just what I wanted to say about that. That's the number one way to stay depressed. And also, in my opinion, maybe not the number one challenge, but at least in the top three, is being strong enough to force yourself out of that isolation. But it is good to know the support system. Like I don't ever have to worry about feeling like there's nobody. I know that there are so many people that support me.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's like, it's depression makes you, it just makes you feel
don't
so
want
to alone.
Reach out. It holds you.
Yeah,
yes.
Right.
It
makes you feel like
mm-hmm.
your consciousness is the only one that exists. So that's why you
mm-hmm.
feel so alone. So it's like the people outside of you
mm-hmm.
hardly even really exist, because in your mind it's just like the script that you're telling yourself. So people are there and they're reaching out and you still feel so
mm-hmm.
alone, and you really have to really look around and really understand and see the support system
yes.
that you do have.
Yes.
But it's definitely, it's a challenge. And these are like the most important things. Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yes, amen, amen. We have a caller on the line, sis, who wanted to chime in. Rabbi about the letter, man. Hello? No, I'm turning the speaker off. Hello? I'm guessing they'll call back. Hello? Hello?
Oh, man.
Hello? Okay, Tora. I'm guessing that will be it. They didn't say nothing, Uncle. Just got to hear about it. They was on the line, but they didn't say nothing. Y'all will be done. Y'all will be done. You want to have any closing remarks before we close on out?
I think that we just have to remember that we're not our thoughts. So, like, intrusive thoughts is something that everybody experiences, and I just think that we all have to remember that. I used to say that, like, I have depression. But, like,
mm-hmm.
like, I'm depressed, but it's, like,
mm-hmm.
you, like, kind of what my mother was saying, like, you identify, you take this thing and you make it a part of your identity. When
Right.
That's not what it is. That's just not what it is. But that's it.
Amen. Well, I want to thank you, Akoti, for your bravery and sharing your story with us, and hopefully somebody else out there who will hear your story and can relate to your story will be able to heal and be able to start the walk and the journey of healing, you know, as all of us in one way or another, as your mother said, that trauma happens to all of us. Trauma
mm-hmm.
happens to all of us. It's life. This life that we live in, it's filled with trauma. It's filled with trauma. And with one scripture that Yahushua said in Luke 8:50. I'm going to end with this scripture. But Yahushua, hearing it, answered him, "Don't be afraid. Only believe, and she will be healed. And you will be healed. Only believe, and you will be healed. Unless it's like Brother Shaul, is something that Abba Yah wanted to leave there just for him. But that was the case for Brother Shaul. All cases are not the same. But if we believe and don't be afraid, don't be afraid to talk about our feelings. Don't be afraid to talk about what hurts us. Don't be afraid or to as you're weak because you're expressing your feelings. No. Open up. Let loose. Let it go. Let it out. It's better out than in. Because as long as it's out, they can't use it against you. They that is, they're falling, the demons, the devils, those who use these things against us in our own thoughts, they use that against us a lot. In so many avenues, in so many ways in our lives, they will take what we go through in life and they will use it against us. And for the most part, it's our own thoughts. You know, what we think is our own thoughts who's telling us that we are not this, we are not that, you are not worthy. And all we have to remember is he died for every soul on this planet. When we were yet sinners, he sent himself, his son, to die. So that tells us alone that we are worthy. We were worthy of someone dying for us. So we are worthy. You have to believe that. Believe, like you said, and don't be afraid. Let me close out with the closing benediction, family. I want to thank the two Akotis tonight and for coming on and sharing their story. And Yah will be done. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the bride. Blessed are you. Excuse me, family. The earbud just died on me. That's all right. I can say it like this too. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with shalom. Hallelujah. 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 Todah Abiyah once again for bringing us to your Shabbat door and opening up the Shabbat door for us, Father. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for your daughters tonight for speaking tonight, Father. We thank you for giving them the courage to speak, Father, for giving them the spirit to speak, Father. Father, we ask and pray that you continue to hedge both of them up, Father, that they continue to do your will, Father. That for Danielle, that you give her the power, that she let her know that everything she needs is within her, Father. Everything she needs, every sword, every shield, every helmet is within her, Father. It's within her, Father. So when she gets to that time, Father, then let her know also that we are here with her, Father. We are Mishpachah, we are family, Father, that we will all surround her and anyone else who needs your protection, Father, who needs your survival, Father, who needs your spirit, Father, at any moment, Father. Just reach out. In Yahushua's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Yisrael. Shabbat shalom, Abiyah.
Have mercy upon me, O Yah, for I am weak. O Yah, heal me. Psalm 6, verse 2.
you. I give yeah.